Good afternoon.
Woke us up.
Good evening, almost. That's what happens when you schedule a 4 o'clock hearing and then leadership schedules floor session on top of us and other committees were off the floor, and so we couldn't get my committee off the floor. So here we are, an hour and a half late, but better late than never. And I think that this will be one of the most important committee meetings this committee has seen this session. I think it'll be what might be termed a historic committee meeting, hopefully. We will start off with a couple of bills of representatives' honors. So we will open a work session on House Bill 2870.
Mr. Chair.
Representatives' honor.
I move the dash threes to 2870.
Representative Zahner has moved the dash three amendments to House Bill 2870. Do you want to explain the dash three amendments?
Yeah, I visited with Doug Kendall and all the nice folks at ODOT and the city of Woodburn and Winco, and we've all agreed we're going to work this thing out, and we want to move this bill to Ways and Means, and it will meet its demise there probably, which is fine. But we've worked it out. So. Let's go with it. They got a lot of important stuff there.
Well, I appreciate you, Representative Zahner, working with the department and working with the local jurisdictions and the business owners. I know you've worked hard on this issue, and it's a process where I think you're coming to a solution, and I appreciate the work that you've done on this bill. Are there questions of the amendment for the representative? Is there objection to the amendment? In none, the dash three amendment's adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zahner.
I'd like to move 2870 as amended to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Zahner has moved House Bill 2870 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any other comments, questions, concerns, objections? In none, so moved. Close the work session on House Bill 2870. We will next. Let's do the other one of Representative Zahner's bills. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3569.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zahner.
I move the dash sixes to 3569.
Representative Zahner has moved the dash six amendments to House Bill 3569. John, Representative Zahner, I'd like to have John just kind of give us a brief update summary of the dash six amendments.
Mr. Chair, star members of the committee, you have House Bill 3569 with the proposed dash six amendment before you. It requires several things, one of which DASH is to conduct a study of cost operating 100 standard passenger vehicles in motor pool. It also requires DASH to submit report of study results by February 1st, 2002. It requires department honor before July 1st, 2002 to solicit bids for provision of 100 rental standard passenger vehicles for use on per diem basis by state agencies, but bid cannot exceed the actual cost of the department. Based on acceptance of bid, requires DAS to sell or dispose of 100 standard passenger vehicles in department's motor pool on or before July 1st, 2003. Also, based on non-acceptance of bid, requires DAS to submit a written report by November 1st, 2002 to E-Board explaining failure to receive bid, and then also adds an emergency clause. Spoken with legislative fiscal on this, this will have a fiscal impact above the $50,000 threshold. I just spoke with them before the hearing, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Representative Zahner has moved the DAS 6 amendments. Is there discussion on the amendments? Is there objection to the amendments? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. Representative Zahner.
So does it have to go to Ways and Means then? I'm surprised that the fiscal's that big, just for checking it out.
I will, if the representative wishes to send the bill to the floor, I will permit that. The bill can go to the floor and then to the Senate and then to Ways and Means. But it's up to the representative direction he'd like to take the bill.
I move 3569 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We just did. Representative Zahner has moved House Bill 3569 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, recognizing that it passed the House and goes to the Senate, will likely go to Ways and Means to deal with the fiscal issue. Is there discussion on this the motion. Representative Rosenbaum.
Mr. Chair, reluctantly, I will be voting no on this motion. I appreciate the work that Representative Connor has done, but I'm not persuaded that there is a problem that needs to be addressed, nor am I persuaded that we're going to save any money, and apparently we're going to cost quite a bit, so I will be opposing the bill.
Thank you very much. Are there other comments? Questions? Can we have a roll call vote, please, Jennifer?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Nope.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Donner will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3569. Next, committee members, I'd like to bring House Bill 3548 back to committee. I need a suspension of the rules in order to do that.
Mr. Chairman.
We reported this bill out on a partisan basis on a 4-5-5-4 vote. Not something that I did very often in this committee, and I'd like to have the bill back in committee.
Which one is it? Mr. Chairman, 3548.
Just so you know, the bill actually has not been dropped at the clerk's office, so it's just because of the paperwork backlog. So.
Mr. Chairman, do you have a script or do you want me to wing it?
I'll wing it.
Mr. Chairman, I move to suspend the rules.
Representative Devlin has moved to suspend the rules. Is there objection? And then rules are suspended.
Mr. Chairman, the appropriate motion, I move to reconsider the motion by which we sent the bill to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Sounds perfect.
HB 3548.
This is a point of order. Don't you have to vote on the prevailing side in order to move to reconsider?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay. So I can move to suspend the rules. I can do that.
Yes.
But then now we need a motion to reconsider the vote. So somebody who's on the prevailing side has
Mr.
to...
Mr. Chair.
So moved.
I'm very glad we haven't had to do this at any other time this session in our committee. We've got a motion to reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 3548. Is there objection to that motion? And none. We have the ability to reconsider. So now we need a motion to... Now we have the bill back. Are we done?
What are we doing?
Mr. Chairman, if you want a motion to table, I can table.
Since we have the bill back in our possession, I'll close the work session and possible reconsideration of House 3548. Okay. Next, we will go to a House Bill 3413, an explicit for a public hearing. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3413. John, just give us a brief refresher on this bill.
Mr. Chair, starting members of the committee, this is the third time before your committee that you've had House Bill 3413 to consider. It allows the Oregon Department of Transportation to use federal and other monies to comply with annual minimum for state highway modernization expenditure. You have the Dash 2 proposal before you. Amendment, it requires the federal funds expended for modernization be equal to the current allocation. It requires federal funds appropriated by Congress and allocated by U.S. Department of Transportation for specific projects does not apply to ODOT's annual minimum modernization expenditures. And the rest of the amendment is basically just word changes, technical changes. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. And also, committee members, there's a, on Section 3 of the bill, I did put a sunset in this amendment. All that does is it require next legislative session, the session after that, the opportunity to see how this has worked.
No.
It's for your chair's comfort with the whole issue. So I appreciate an aye vote and a motion on the Dash 2 amendment. Because we did open a public hearing on this, does anyone in the audience wish to testify, albeit briefly, on House Bill 3413? Andrea, would you like to?
Mr. Chair, do you know what the state
Please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Andrea Fogg with the League of Oregon Cities.
Bill Penhollow, representing Association of Oregon Counties.
You have all, I think, heard how important this bill is, not only to state transportation system, but also to local government, and we would urge your support of this bill and support also of the amendment.
Thank you. I would second that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3413. We will open a work session on House Bill 3413.
Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Move the dash two amendments to 3413.
Representative Devlin has moved the dash two amendments to House Bill 3413. Is there any further discussion, questions, comments on the dash two amendments? Representative Berger, do you have anything you'd like to add? Okay. Objection? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Devlin.
Move 3413 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Devlin has moved House Bill 3413 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Again, any other comments, concerns, questions? I know Representative Berger will carry the bill in the event that it passes.
Be happy.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Aye.
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 Aye. Bill passes. Representative Berger will carry.
Of course.
Representative Berger will carry. We'll close the work session in House Bill 3413. Okay. Next, we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2142. And do you want to pass out the dash 8 amendments, Dan? Committee members, you're getting a copy of the dash 8. Many of you saw a copy of the dash 7 amendments. There was a technical correction that DMV saw we needed to make to the dash 7 amendments. Thereby, you get a dash 8. Substantively, it's identical to the dash 7 amendments. Just a technical correction by DMV. And it's only the sixth time, I think, today that the bill has changed. What I'd like to do is have Joan Robinson from Legislative Council come up and kind of go through this on a section-by-section basis so that the committee is clear about what's in this. I tried to, this afternoon, once agreement was reached on this, to get to all the committee members to give them at least a snapshot about what it is we're talking about in this bill. And so with that, we'll have a more thorough and detailed discussion about 2142 from Joan. So, and before anybody else has a chance, I'd just like to take a quick opportunity to let Joan know my regard and thanks for her work, not only on this bill, but on so many of the amendments and work that we've done in this committee this session.
Great job.
This will be the last bill that is reported out of this committee this session. And I know that without Joan's help, so much of our work would have been more difficult. And on this bill, in the last couple of days and over the weekend, I do appreciate the extra hours and blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into this work. So I appreciate that. That having been said, can you kind of just go through it on a section-by-section basis, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joan Robinson, Legislative Council. The House Bill 2142-8 is a gut-and-stuff amendment, as I'm sure you know. Section 1 authorizes the Department of Transportation to issue bonds an amount up to $400 million. This is in addition to the other bonding authority that they have. Section 2 of the draft is about what proceeds of the bonds will be used to fund. And the Transportation Commission is given the authority to choose the project from among the following. It begins on page 2. I'd read it to you. Highways that need increased lane capacity, highways and weight limitations, state and local bridges, interchanges on multi-lane highways, district highways in cities and counties that require preservation. They would all be preservation and modernization projects, and those terms are defined with reference to other ORS sections.
Can you talked about what the definition of highways is.
Oh, yeah.
Your ORS 801-305.
I've used the definition of highway that's given in 801-305, which is the motor vehicle code, and it's the definition of highway is essentially any public way. It's the broadest definition of highway there is, and it includes, I mean, people say highways, roads, and streets, and they think they're saying state highways, county roads, and city streets, and they are saying that if they think they are. but legally, highway, as defined in the motor vehicle code, includes all of those things. So highway is not just state highway in this context, nor in any part of the motor vehicle code, if you happen to curl up with that someday.
From experience.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to note that that's unlikely for me in the near future.
Okay. Subsection 3 of Section 2 gives criteria, establishes some criteria that the commission, Transportation Commission, has to use in choosing the projects that will be funded by these bonds. You can read those. Lane capacity projects should be chosen from a financially constrained list. Financially constrained list is not a defined term in the statutes, but it's apparently a term that is understood. The STIP is financially constrained, meaning that all the projects on it, in theory, there are enough funds to build all the projects on the STIP. So I think financially constrained means people know where the money's coming from. Bridge projects will be chosen on the basis of a bridge inventory or rating system that's recognized by the commission. There is one, I don't remember the name of it. We don't like to put specific private organizations or even public organizations necessarily into statutes, but the people who know about bridges know what this is, and I already forgot the name of it because it was a couple of days ago that I learned it. On interchange projects, priority is to be given to projects on multi-lane highways where safety can be enhanced by constructing a grade-separated interchange to replace an at-grade crossing. For district highway preservation projects, priority is to be given to the projects that may facilitate the transfer of jurisdiction over the highway from the state to a local government.
Mr. Chair,
Representative. Yeah.
Joan, could you explain that a little bit more, what the intent behind that is? Why, under what circumstances would we facilitate transfer of jurisdiction from state to local?
What I know about that is what I learned in a meeting a few days ago, and I understand that there are some state highways that are more appropriate, would now be more appropriate to be city streets or county, I think primarily city streets. They really are the city's main street, but they're a state highway, and if they were brought up to a different level, the local jurisdiction might be willing to take them over. But there are other people who are much better qualified to speak.
We will likely have Bruce Warner and Doug Tindall come up and talk about some of the particulars regarding some of these items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Joan?
Paragraph E of subsection 3 requires that projects selected be distributed throughout the state using the same criteria that are used in the STIP for choosing projects. Section 3 requires the Transportation Commission to consult with local governments, MTOs, and regional transportation advisory groups to develop other criteria besides the statutory criteria for choosing the project. So those people will have input into the criteria that will be used to choose the project. Section 4 says that the project to be funded from the bond proceeds will be chosen by February 1st, 2002. Section 5 amends current law and essentially says that $71.2 million per biennium will be taken off of the top of the highway fund before the distribution to cities and counties. $71.2 million is the amount raised by increase in title fees that will come to plus House Bill 2139, and I forget what the utility bill is, but the utility bill is 3068. So $71.2 million is the amount that will be available to pay off the bonds, and that's obviously that's per biennium. That's tied to the $400 million amount. I'm not the money person. I couldn't possibly tell you how somebody decides that $71.2 million is adequate to fund $400 million worth of bonds, but I believed them when they told me that. Even if I hadn't believed them, I would have written it for them. So. Section 6. Section 6 says that the $71.2 million per biennium will be used to pay principal and interest on the bonds. This makes people who underwrite the bonds and buy the bonds happy because it dedicates a specific stream of revenue, or specific amount of revenue. However, if some of that money is not needed to pay principal and interest on the bond, then it gets allocated in a different allocation formula from the usual formula. It will go 50% to the department, 30% to the counties, and 20% to the cities. That the current formula for the and what will remain the formula for the rest of highway fund monies is 24.38% to the counties and 15.57% to the cities. So it's a new allocation formula, and the way Section 6 will work, when the bonds are paid off, $71.2 million per biennium will go 50-30-20. While they're not paid off, any amount that's necessary to pay off the bonds will go to pay off the bonds, and the rest, you know, the difference between $71.2 million and what's being used to pay off the bonds will go 50-30-20. So the amount will change as the years go by. Section 7 is where we get the money for this, primarily, from an increase in the title fees. This is where the Dash 8 differs from the Dash 7, for those of you who have the Dash 7. We had to break up title fees. Right now, in current law, everybody pays the same amount for a title, no matter what kind of vehicle, no matter what kind of title. This breaks it up. So a salvage title will pay $17, which is the amount from House Bill 2139. A salvage title is what you get when the car is wrecked. So those cars are not operating on the highway. A trailer over 8,000 pounds, a motor vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating of 26,000 pounds or more, or a truck tractor will pay $90. Vehicles not described in paragraph B will pay $30. That's basically cars, trucks under 26,000 pounds, trailers under 8,000 pounds. And this 803.090, which is what is amended here, has several different title fees that you pay. So the same amendment goes through most of them. So title transfer issue.
Thank you. Joan, just briefly, by trailer, you're defining that as truck trailer that a truck tractor would pull, correct? Or are you talking about a fifth wheel trailer that a farm rancher might use?
Well,
there's a definition of trailer in the Motor Vehicle Code which applies to...
We'll have Kelly Taylor come up and answer that specific question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Probably with Doug and Bruce.
That's
a good time.
803.090 has different fees. The fees are all the same. It's just different title transactions. Transfer, issuance, duplicate or replacement, and a new title when you change a name or address. And then Section 8 of the bill is a bond statute. 367.605 is an ODOT bond statute, and this is essentially amended to make the ODOT bond people happy and secure in the knowledge that they can make this happen. That's what we hope. Section 9 amends 821.040, which has to do with exemptions from equipment requirements for off-road vehicles. And the effect of the amendment to 821.040 is to say that motorcycles and mopeds, when they're operating off-road, have to have flags, little flags that stick up so people can see them. Section 10 is an effective date provision that says the act takes effect on the 91st day after sine die, which used to be the normal effective date of bills, but no longer is. And it's the earliest date that this bill can take effect because of the title increases. It's a bill regulating taxation that can't have an emergency clause. Also because of the title increases, because you're doing more than covering costs, it's a bill for raising revenue, and so you need a supermajority, and it has to start in the House, which it has. Questions?
Any additional questions for Joan? Any questions for Rosebud?
No.
Anyone? Thank you very much.
He's good.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bruce Warner and Pat Egan, come on, please.
Evening, Mr. Chair. My name is Pat Egan of the Governor's Office. Just a couple of comments here. I think I'll be fairly brief. I heard the comment on this package today, better late than never. And as I see it, and for those of you who have been here in the last couple of sessions, it's pretty early, actually. if you know what I mean. And we'd like to keep it that way if we can do anything to help in that regard. I did get a chance to, you offered to have the governor come down. He wasn't able to make it, and he apologizes for that. I did get a chance to talk with him about the package and said, I believe it's going to be coming out today. He offered his personal congratulations to you and the members of the committee and others that have been working on this bill over the last weeks and even further back than that in some cases. As to the bill and as to the governor's priorities, we believe that as it's currently written, it meets or exceeds our priorities and our principles in the following ways. The governor's made no mistake about his priorities on preservation. We understand maintenance is something that should not be bonded. But that's not part of this package, but preservation and bridge repair is a significant part of this package. And we look forward to implementing that that portion of it in relationship with the Oregon Transportation Commission. We also understand there's modernization as part of this package and that would address some of the congestion problems, hopefully, in different parts of the state. Understood, Representative Nelson? We also have taken a close look at bonding. The governor is not a big fan of bonding, but relative to transportation in this particular case, he is definitely willing to go along. We believe that and have looked at the numbers. We believe this is a secure package and will not threaten our bond rating in any way whatsoever. So we also support that portion of it. The governor has also made clear to me that there should be no site-specific selection in any package. This meets that priority as well. And so basically all of the priorities we've articulated to the chair and other members of this committee have been met in this package, and we're very thankful for that. Let's see, I had a couple of other points here. I've spoken now personally with four of the five members of the Transportation Commission. The fifth member's been traveling. We've been playing voicemail, voice tag there. They are supportive of the concept. They haven't seen the Dash 8s, but I think basically as it's been described to them, they're supportive. And we look forward to doing all that we can to making sure that this moves forward through the process and that we're not dealing with it on the last night with the 12th vote at the end of the session. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bruce Warner, the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. It is indeed a pleasure to be here this evening with you. I am here to testify in support of House Bill 2142, and I want to thank the chair and the committee members for allowing me the opportunity to speak about in support of this. Very quickly, this is a great proposal. It does allow cities, counties, and the state to address critical highway and road preservation, bridge, and highway improvements. The bill also allows, as was pointed out, a great deal of flexibility for us and the department to work with our stakeholders, our city partners and county partners, and other stakeholders groups to select and program various transportation projects around the state. I'm looking forward, in fact, to strengthening our relationship with those key stakeholders as a result of this this opportunity. And I want to let you know that I am also committed with the department to make sure that this money does get on the road as quickly as possible, which I know is the intent of the chair. I would also like to point out, I know as the chair has pointed out in previous meetings, maybe not here in the committee, but this doesn't solve all of our transportation problems, but it sure is the first major transportation investment proposal that we've seen in the last decade. So I want to thank you again for moving this forward and hope that it is successful. I would like to also take the opportunity to thank the Oregon and Idaho chapter of the American Automobile Association and the Oregon Trucking Association for working with me and trying to figure out a way to resolve some of the longstanding issues that they've been unable to agree. I think next session we'll be able to bring forward some work that will hopefully again allow that debate to go on in terms of cost allocation and allow this body and the next legislature to actually address some of those issues. And before I forget it, I do want to also, if I could, thank some of my staff who worked on this, Joan Plank, Kelly Taylor, Doug Tindall, Matt Garrett, and particularly I wanted to mention, you probably aren't aware of Victor Dodier from our department. He's the individual that has spent many hours and, in fact, many Saturdays working on generating numbers and getting the information that's included in this bill. So I want to make sure we thank him. Also, I want to thank your committee administrator, John Leon, for the good work that he's done in here. So, in closure, it's a great proposal. I look forward to working with you and the rest of the legislature, Legislative Assembly, over the next few weeks to assure that this is successful. And if you'd like, maybe I could get to a couple of the questions. I think you had one question, Representative Krupp. First off, in terms of the, I think it's in Section 2, regarding the priority for district highway preservation projects shall be given to those projects that may facilitate transfer of jurisdiction over the highway from the state to the local government. And this isn't meant to be a mandate. This is essentially an opportunity for cities. We have a number of streets that are state highways that are no longer really functioning as a state highway to take over the jurisdiction of those roadways. And in many cases, they want to take over the jurisdiction of those roadways, but because those are the lowest priority for us in terms of maintenance work, we are essentially, many of them are in poor state of repair, and this would allow us to bring those up to a good state of repair, a good pavement condition, and would allow the cities, if they wish to take over those roadways. And there's a number of cities who've expressed interest in doing that. Now, in terms of the trailer issue, I guess I'd have to have Kelly Taylor come up here and maybe answer, if you'd like, the difference between the farm vehicle trailers, I think we could question, and others. Is that, did I have your question correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Bruce, that is correct. And may I ask, Mr. Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Jurisdictional transfer, just about every town and city that's in my district has a state highway running through it. In downtown, of all of them, are you really serious about being willing and able to give up the jurisdictional issue and transfer to the cities?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krupp, first off, I think you need to understand there's a number of highways out there which do run through cities which are of statewide significance, which are ones that maybe we should retain the jurisdiction of. But there are a number of those other highways that go through cities that maybe are not their main roads and are not the only highway going through their road where the city and we would like to facilitate some transfer. So I think we need to do it on a case-by-case basis, but clearly we're willing to work with local jurisdictions and have in the past worked with them to facilitate the transfer of jurisdiction. And this will, I think, help us maybe define better some of the responsibilities of those roads once and for all, too.
Okay. I didn't address that issue myself. I believe that we had that situation happen in Washington County on Highway 10, which is Farmington Road, and where the road is upgraded and transferred to county jurisdiction. So I think it's a situation where it's not none of these issues, none of these areas where the dollars are going to be spent are mandates. We're allowing the flexibility at the commission to work within the process to find the right projects for these $400 million. Kelly, would you like to address the other question?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kelly Taylor with the Department of Transportation. For us at DMV, trailers over 8,000 pounds is any trailer that's over 8,000 pounds. For titling, they're all the same to us.
Okay. Two other questions, Mr. Chair, since I have them here. Kelly, are we increasing the fee also for changing of address on a title?
Mr. Chair and Representative Krupp, I believe you can change. I mean, I'd have to look,
yes.
But okay.
Yes.
And Mr. Chair, that's the same $30 fee that we're proposing for the normal titling.
No.
If you issue a new certificate of title indicating change of
name. Oh, okay. Great. Mr. Chair and Representative Krupp, it is the same structure.
Okay. Mr. Chair, one last question.
Yes.
Bruce, we're hopefully heading into not too much of a recession here, and we're basing the expected revenues that we are anticipating coming in under this scenario on a certain level of titles. If we have less than that, less trucks bought, less cars bought and transferred, and so on and so forth, and there isn't quite enough money, the $71.2 million doesn't actually come in, where do we go, what well do we dip out of to finish paying off the bonding obligation or make the payments on those years where the revenue may be less?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krupp, that's a very good question. First off, this if you notice from this bill, essentially is taking the new revenues and putting them into the highway trust fund, but it is taking off these new revenues off the top to pay for this. Essentially, the state highway trust fund is the backing for any of those bonds. And again, if the money came in short, or the revenues came in short from what below our expectations, then essentially the state highway trust fund would have to bear the responsibility for those payments to make sure that the bondholders are honored in their sale.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Devlin.
Very quick question for Bruce. Actually, in that rare circumstance that they may not meet that threshold, just if anybody's thinking about this, because this is not covered in the bill, it would probably come from the state's portion of that trust fund, correct, in terms of it would not diminish. If these revenues did not equal the amount necessary to retire the bonds, they would probably not diminish the local share, cities and counties share. I don't think correct.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dan Levine, the people in the audience and my staff are saying the answer to that, so I will go along with it.
It's the full faith and credit of the state, not the full faith and credit of the counties and cities.
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bruce, I believe in the proposed budget for ODOT, there's about $180-some million in the next biennium for modernization. Will this bill or proposal in any way affect those dollars? And the projects that are now on the top of the step, will they be the first ones addressed with this proposal?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, I think you've got two questions there, and if I've got them right. First off, this does provide new revenues for the next biennium, which would allow us to then program additional projects into the STIP or move the projects that are already in the State Transportation Improvement Program forward earlier. But the intent is to do both of those, I believe.
Okay.
Representative Bridger.
Yes. Bruce, I'd like to just go back to the jurisdictional exchange for a minute. I don't want people to get really excited about buying state highways. The jurisdictional exchange, as I understand it, there are many state highways within cities that are almost considered city streets. Isn't that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, that is correct.
And you are responsible for the state highway system, so any highway that is a major connection between two towns, two cities, so forth, would not be a highway that you would be interested in having jurisdictional exchange.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Berger, that was something I was trying to do when I answered Representative Krupp. If I wasn't clear, I think you said it much more clearly. That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
Representative Merkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to be sure in Section 6 where we lay out each biennium, $71 million, that's a very precise number being put into the law, and I want to make sure that the funds we're raising, which is based on a less precise foundation because we don't actually, it's based on funds to be raised from a variety of fees. How sure are we that the two sides are going to balance out, that we're actually going, that 71.2 is well grounded in an accounting sense from the sources that we're addressing?
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, we have done a lot of work looking at these numbers. Clearly, we would not propose putting these numbers into the bill if we were not comfortable with those numbers. Their numbers are based on the levels of activity and the ownership and transfer vehicles, new vehicles that we see coming into the system today. Representative Krupp pointed out that, again, if the economy slowed down, some of these numbers may not be realized. However, I think in terms of the growth of the state and the increases that we've seen in the past, during times of slower economic activity, we believe that we're comfortable with these numbers that are put in this bill.
Thank you. I appreciate that analysis and work you've put into that.
Yes.
Anybody else? Representative Nelson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank all of you for working this out for us and tell you how grateful I am on behalf of my district, and I think the entire state's going to benefit. And great foresight, great creativity, good planning. We plan our work now and work our plan, and life's going to be
even more beautiful in the beautiful Northwest. Thank you very much, Chair Starr and team.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go back to and Joan may want to answer this because I think she alluded to it in Section 6, talking about, in essence, we are creating a new distribution formula, and that after the bond payoff, I think if you would clarify that, I thought I heard Joan say that that bond, after the bond payoff, this distribution formula would continue to take place for the $71.2 million, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative.
And Mr. Chair, only for the $71.2
million. Yes.
So we're going to have, in essence, three distribution formulas, or two now?
Two, I believe.
If I can just address that, in the most recent transportation packages that this body has, the House has either reported to the Senate where they have died, or a package that has passed both chambers and the governor has signed, has been referred and has died, or I can go on with other packages that haven't met with success. But the most recent packages, this has been the allocation formula that has been in those packages. And it goes back to a study that was done of the need when you compare state needs versus county and city. And I'm not the expert on that, but I know that that study was done, and this was the allocation formula that was really settled on out of that study. It's new because it hasn't been passed in a bill that's actually made it through into law. But it's not new in the fact that everyone in this room recognizes that this has been in every package that's been in discussed in this building since 1993.
Okay. Thank you.
Pat.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could just address that point particularly, one of our first reactions to the package was that once the bonds had been paid off, we wanted to ensure that it was expressed in the bill that the monies went back to a local state match. And so we believe that based on Joan's good work here, this accomplishes that. So just as a matter of putting something on the record and to give you context, we assumed that it would go to the local match, but we wanted to make it express into the bill.
Yeah. And Mr. Chair, one last question. Do we have a expected term of the payoff and the total payoff dollars?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krupp, no, we do not yet. That would be something we'd be looking at based on the bond market. Again, the size of the bonds we'd want to go out at any particular instance. But I think the intent is they're probably 15 to 20-year bonds.
Thank you, Chairman.
I had one thing. If you look at 524, the current allocation, 24.38%, 15.57%, that resulted from blending what used to be a really hideous formula of money, different cents of the gas tax distributed in different ways. And so, I mean, because nobody in their right mind would choose 24.38% and 15.57% just because it sounded nice. What somebody could do, not I, but some money person could figure out how to distribute this particular money, 50-30-20, and combine it with the formula in 366-524 to come up with a different percentage. But it's easier to understand this way. It's certainly easier to write. And, you know, it's not, as Representative Starr said, 50-30-20 has been around for even probably longer than I have. That's a long time.
Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for Bruce, actually. Given your long experience in transportation, I know that there might be some people who would express concerns about the interest that would be paid on the bonds over the period of time, but that interest probably will not exceed the increasing cost of construction, will it not? I mean, the increasing cost of construction has far exceeded what the interest that we'd probably pay on this type of bond. And that's no reflection of the people who build the roads either. So that
Mr. Chairman, Representative Demblin, I think that's a good way to put it, because especially right now, we're seeing a lot of inflation, especially in many of the materials that go into the building roads, like liquid asphalt. I can't remember what the increase was. I want to say we had like a 50% increase in the price of liquid asphalt in the last couple of years. So with our low interest rates for borrowing, combined with the higher than usual inflation that we've had for the past few years, makes for an ideal timeline to actually go out and do bonding like this for projects. And Mr. Chairman, Representative Demblin, if I could just add a correction to the question you had previously. There's a note here from my staff, so what your staff meant to say. And what I really wanted to point out is that Section 6, $71.2 million is off the top, again, for the payment of retirement of these bonds. And we don't need all of that, we don't believe, to repay the bonding that is in this bill. But in the event, again, the actual economy again dived and we did not have the revenues, that 71.2 comes off the top sill, and so actually the cities, counties, and the state would all suffer in terms of that at that time, not to exceed the 71.2. However,
since that was raised, let me bring that up. I mean, let me play off on that. In the negotiations and the discussions around this bill, the amount of $400 million and the amount of about $64 million per biennium was one of the original task, original proposals. And when we finally got the Trucking Association and AAA to agree to a package, there was additional revenue that was raised. And because of that, the 71.2 used to be 64.0, I guess. There's some extra dough in there, and that's going to just be turned over to the State Highway Fund and then into the cities and counties. So, that was not convoluted enough. I don't know what else is. Is there any other questions of these witnesses? I just want to take an opportunity briefly here to let Bruce know that I appreciated the work on this from your side, and I know the long hours that you and I and others have put into this, and I appreciate that and the work and the kind of relationship I think that has been developed between us personally and I believe the legislature and the department this session. I hope that we continue that through the interim and into the future and recognize that without that kind of partnership between this body and the department, the citizens of the state of Oregon will not be well served. And I think that it's the goal of this legislator, and I believe of this committee, to continue that partnership. And I look forward to that through the interim as we continue to have constructive dialogue about issues and when problems arise, the ability to deal with those constructively and to move forward. I just wanted to say thank you for that effort the last 4 months, and I look forward to that into the interim. And again, thank you for your work on this proposal. And to Pat, I just wanted to say thanks as well for the work here on this proposal. It couldn't have happened without the work that you've put into it. I appreciate it very much. The governor's support obviously is crucial in making it happen. Yeah, exactly.
Feeling shared, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
So I appreciate your work and working on the weekends and all of that. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure. Yes. I'd like to thank the ODOT staff, too, who helped me enormously, obviously, in developing this, including the absent Victor, with whom I spoke several times on Saturday. And Doug. I spoke to Doug on his cell phone on Saturday, too. So.
Thank you very much. Very good. Next, we will have Craig Campbell and Bob Russell. I'm not sure that this has ever happened before.
Mr. Chair, it's a beautiful thing.
Mr. Chairman, in commerce, we had Larry Campbell and Paul Phillips shake hands.
All right!
before these two gentlemen testify, I I just wanted to get on the record. I was committed to having a transportation package come out of this session of some kind. And being the person that I am, I wanted that to be on a consensus basis. I'll fight when I have to fight, but if I can bring people to the table and build consensus, that's what I want to do. And I, even before they testify, I want to say thanks to the two of you for continuing to come to the table. When it didn't look like it was possible, I kept asking you back to the table. We kept looking for creative ways to make this thing happen. And I appreciate each of you having that open mind, being willing to give a little bit here and there along the way. And I think in the end, we're going to have a package that will benefit the trucking industry in the state, as well as those of us that drive our cars. And so with that, I'll let you turn it over to you and give you testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first of all, I wanted to take the opportunity, as quick as AAA sometimes is at casting ire, it also needs to be as quick to recognize both leadership and personal integrity. And I want to take this opportunity to thank the chair, who put what was probably justified frustration with one particular highway user group, which will remain unnamed, and was willing to go beyond the emotion of the issue and bring us back to the table, and came up with a compromise that was fairly historic, and that we have both of us sitting here in front of you. So with that, let me indicate that.
Mr. Chair, is that an apology?
Mea culpa, perhaps?
Chair, Representative Krupp, in light of the emotion of the time, it probably would not be a bad thing for me to apologize to the chair for the comments of AAA about this issue. Now it'd probably be a good time to do it because it's in a public forum. So thank you for providing me with that opportunity.
My pleasure.
But I do want to indicate AAA's full support of House Bill 2182 with the Dash 8 amendments, and wanted to also thank my counterpart with the trucking industry, whose willingness to move made it possible for us to move, and it couldn't have happened without them. So I wanted to thank the trucking industry. I could start going down the long list of people who need to be thanked, but...
Well, Craig, change that back to 2142.
What did I say?
82.
Oh,
42. Flashback to last session.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Russell. I'm Director of Government Affairs for the Oregon Trucking Association. Unlike many of you, or I think most of you, I was here in 1991, which was the last session that we passed the transportation package. Matter of fact, I was here in 83, 85, 87, and 89, all of which we passed transportation packages. It's been nearly a decade since we've had a transportation package. The last several sessions have been particularly contentious, and it certainly gives me a great deal of pleasure to sit up here with Mr. Campbell in partnership in moving forward on building new highways in this state. I also want to take the opportunity to thank Representative Starr. His leadership was absolutely key in bringing this together. And the Oregon Trucking Association is in total support of this package. Let's go build some highways.
Yes.
Thank you both so much. Appreciate it. I'd like to have Matt Blevins and Jacob Rostoff. They're still here.
Thank you, Chair Starr, members of the committee. Before I speak to the merits of the bill, I just want to convey gratitude from our lobbyist, Randy Tucker, who said that this accomplishes the goal of compressing all of the angst and bitterness of an entire month last session into one afternoon. It's an afternoon of sweetness and light, and he thinks that's a positive change. 1,000 Friends of Oregon, I'm the transportation advocate for them, and we're generally supportive of this bill. We have a couple of minor, what I would characterize as tweaks. We're just hoping for some clarity that in Section 2, 2A through E, and then 3A through E, that it's clear that they're not listed in order of priority. They're a list that where no priority is specified by the order in which they're presented. So
Let the record show, the legislative record show, that it was not the drafter's intent that those be listed in the order of priority.
Thank you very much, Chair Starr.
Repeat that on the floor as well.
And then we would hope for some direction to the OTC that a good chunk of the new revenue raised goes towards preservation first. So that's it. And otherwise, I really appreciate the Chair and the drafter's consideration of financial constraint in the drafting and in the language in this bill. That's very heartening to see that in a piece of legislation. I think that and a lot of other good things about this bill contribute to making it a good package to move forward with. So thank you.
For the record, Matt Blevins, Legislative Affairs Director, Oregon Environmental Council. OEC just obviously received the amendments just like everybody else, and so at this point we're leaning in support of this package. Again, we would like to just emphasize what Jacob has said before me, that again, we would encourage the priority of preservation over modernization and new lanes, that we have a lot of highways out there that need to be upgraded and fixed to serve their current purpose before we start building new lanes, and encourage Transportation Commission to look at that first and foremost.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony. Dee Bridges and Al Elkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Dee Bridges, Oregon Forest Products Transportation Association. We're the other trucking association, and we're just here to support the bill.
Mr. Chair, Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Tow Truck Association, ditto, and I'd just like to thank Mr. Warner and Mr. Egan for all their work and keeping this process going.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Laura Pryor and Andrea Pogue.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Andrea Fogg with the League of Oregon Cities. I'll defer to you, Judge.
Judge Pryor from Gillum County.
Thank you. Go ahead, Judge, you can buy your test together.
Well, things have changed. I think this bill signals a lot of things. Hope for Dundee, so I can get to see my daughter. Thank you.
Thank you.
But I think it really signals maybe a new way of doing business. On behalf of the counties, I want to thank you most sincerely for recognizing in Section 6 that this is still one system. We're all going to have to take our turn. Things are different. In the past, every transportation package, one way or another, had pieces for everybody and everything. And I think sometimes maybe that's why they began to fail. We have to have a new way of doing business. I remember when this committee came to the Dalles, and I remember when the chair held out hope for something like this at that meeting. And I think all of us that were there were afraid. We're afraid to believe that maybe something could happen. I believe that we all wanted to work with the chairman because we believed in his sincerity and dedication, and I believe that that's probably what helped us climb over all of the past hurts from the past wars of these last 10 years, and probably why you've seen the partnerships, the two people coming up representing different organizations coming to this table. To testify here today. I think that we see this bill as a companion bill to the task force bill. And I think we are hoping most sincerely that those two bills, this bill and the other one, are maybe a new way of looking at how we solve these problems in transportation in Oregon. I think all of us are looking to the future. And I want to thank this committee for its great courtesy to us every time we've been here to testify. And thank you, Chairman Starr, very much.
Andrea.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the judge eloquently stated the same sentiment of the cities. very much appreciate the chair's leadership on this issue and during this session and the committee as well. I think that this is an opportunity to do something very important for the state, for, as Judge Pryor stated, the system, both local and state roads. And we appreciate the commitment to that partnership shown by ODOT, shown by the governor's office, shown by the chair and this committee. And we think that this can really accomplish something that hasn't been done in a long, long time. It is a start. It is a good beginning. And we look forward to continuing to work toward a transportation future for this state. So on behalf of cities, we support this package. We look forward to moving it forward and getting it done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your testimony. Appreciate it. I've got three more. I'm going to call them all up together. John Watt, Deidre Molender, and Jessica Harris, please. And if anyone else wants to testify that didn't sign up, you can raise your hand when they're done. Jessica, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jessica Harris. I'm here today on behalf of the Associated General Contractors. We build those roads, and I can't tell you how excited our folks are at this package. We are ecstatic. We are very grateful to the chair and members of this committee for their leadership in crafting this package. We are thrilled to be here today in support of this package. We believe that in the start of a new decade, a new century, and a new millennium, this is definitely getting off to the right start. And we appreciate very much your leadership in bringing this forward. We look forward to seeing this signed by the governor and implemented, and appreciate, again, favorable consideration by this committee.
Thank you. Deidre.
For the record, my name is Deirdre Molander. I'm the project director for the Oregon Business Council. The Oregon Business Council supports this committee's efforts to raise new revenue for Oregon's transportation system. My written testimony outlines some of the reasons for that, but in the interest of time, I'll summarize by saying that the state's system of roads and other transportation infrastructure is essential to our economy and our livability. For this reason, the OBC, the Oregon Business Council, urges you to support legislation to raise new revenue for Oregon's highways and bridges. And I want to close by saying thank you very much for the leadership that Representative Starr has shown and to the committee in putting this package together.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, John Watt, I'm here in my capacity today as president of the Oregon Highway Users Alliance. We're made up of the members of over 30 members in the lobby who do advocate for transportation issues. Mr. Chair, I would like to recognize and commend your vision, your leadership, and most of all, your tenacity. I would also like to recognize your committee administrator for all the hard work, and have been instructed by said same person to say, good bill, should pass.
All right.
Thank you very much. Ms. Snyder, if there's anyone else, Keith, Lynn, come on.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Susan Schneider of the City of Portland. I would just like to add our support to what you've already heard for this bill, and also our appreciation to the thanks that have already been extended to everyone.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Keith Levitt with the Port of Portland, and I just don't want to report back to the port and say we didn't actually get on the record and say we supported. Add to the love in the room, so thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This has been a lot of fun actually working on this package, and we're going to be there moving it through the rest of the process.
Lynn Lundquist from the Oregon Business Association. I want to add to the fact that you are doing something historic today. I've been in the process longer than some of you, and not as long as others, perhaps. I know the fight that it is. I know the tenacity. I know the courage that it takes to do that. And I have to tell you, as OBA, with having three major focuses, that's education, environment, and transportation, and when I would go to the board meeting here during the session, and they would say, what is going on in these areas? I didn't have a lot to report in transportation. And now I can go back and say that we've hit a home run. You've hit a home run today. The committee has hit a home run. and my hat is off to you. And as a business community, we're very, very supportive of your endeavors, and I can't say enough, I guess, from the standpoint that I hope that this is not the end, but just the beginning of our transportation solutions.
Thank you very much. Okay, committee members, if you notice in your draft, there's a section 9, and it's not there by accident. It's there by design. Representative Doyle actually asked that we include this part to the bill, and there's, I believe, a woman here that would like to testify to this issue. It's an NSTEP stuff, and I'd like to invite her up at this point, at this moment, to, and we'll let John just give perhaps a sound bite. Go ahead and have a seat on the issue. It might appear that this doesn't fit into this bill, but the relating clause works, and I thought this was an important issue, and important enough to accommodate Representative Doyle. And Don, if you can just give a brief synopsis of what we're doing, and we'll miss that in her testimony.
Yes, Chair Starr, members of the committee, this deals primarily with an issue on the dunes over by Coos Bay, and the constituent Bev Stubbs, who's appearing before the committee at this moment, constituent Representative Dan Darley. Basically, the amendment requires motorcycles and mopeds operated off-road to be equipped with flags for safety purposes.
Ms. Stubbs, thank you for waiting. I apologize for that. Fairly significant piece of legislation, and not to diminish the importance of why you're here, please proceed.
Well, the reason that we really want to have motorcycles to have flags, I'm sorry, I'm very nervous, is the fact that they are the only vehicle on the dunes that is exempt from having them. The other lady that was with me had to leave for a meeting. Her cousin was hit by a young gentleman on a motorcycle who did not have flags, and he fought for his life for 11 months. He finally passed away on Valentine's Day. And in our belief is if those motorcycles had flags, we could see them. It would cut down on accidents. So I'm glad that you guys are allowing them to attach this bill to your bill, and I really hope that it goes through. It sounds like it's going to. I think it's a great bill from what I've heard today. And that's really the only thing I have to say is we just need to change the amendment in the deal saying that motorcycles must have flags on the dunes. Everybody else does.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. I appreciate it. I appreciate you waiting.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Crabb.
Thank you. I have one additional question I'd like to ask Bruce Warner, please.
Yes.
Mr. Director, one of the things that I'd like to have on the record is that oftentimes in the past, ODOT has been criticized for a perception that your administrative costs are more excessive than they need to be. With the bonding of $400 million worth of construction projects, I'm concerned that there again may be a perception that an inordinate amount of administrative costs may be siphoned off of the $400 million that we're trying to produce on the roads. So I'd like to have your thoughts on that. It's great that we're bonding $400 million. I think that's a very positive thing. I just want to make sure that we're not that ODOT is going to be very sensitive to administrative cost issues in achieving that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krupp, I too am very sensitive to that. First off, it is our intent to, obviously there's costs that we are unable to control in terms of bond sales and those kind of things, which are clearly administrative and need to go in to just have the money available to do this work. It is not the department's intention to, again, siphon any dollars off of this pot for excessive administration. It is our intent actually to look at new and innovative ways to get our projects out on the street more quickly that would allow us to have less administrative costs in the way we do things. So it's our intent hopefully to make this a model, and I would be pleased to report back to the legislature on an annual basis or biennial basis in terms of the actual cost of the project, the amount of money we spend on preliminary engineering, construction engineering, and general administration, so that you can see that the money is well spent.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If this has been answered while I was running next door to testify, please feel free to say so. In Section 2 of the bill, we give the Oregon Transportation Commission the responsibility to make decisions among five priorities: highways, bridges, highways and bridges with weight limitations, interchanges, and preservation, which I take to mean maintenance. I'm not sure if that is correct. How does the OTC go about making these decisions? Do they hold a series of public hearings? Will the piece that we have today evaporate when those meetings are held? How does it work?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Merkley, we would plan on utilizing the existing State Transportation Improvement Program process, which is a joint process that involves local governments, stakeholders, regional advisory groups in the development of the priorities, and again, based upon the criteria that's outlined in this bill. It's a process which will hopefully identify the top-ranking priorities for improvement, for bridge work, and for preservation. I might add that word there on E, it may sound like maintenance, but essentially it's meant to mean large or long-term improvements to the roadway condition that will allow them to be in good condition for a number of years. It's not meant to be normal maintenance activities. It's meant to be something that you will see there and be on the ground for a number of years before work is required. So, again, Representative Merkley, have I answered your question adequately?
It sounds like there will be a significant public process that will go into making these decisions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, that is correct. And there is also, however, some deadlines here by which we need to complete that process. So it is an accelerated process, and, frankly, the department looks forward to moving that along in a quick manner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome a speaker to our dais here this evening. Mr. Speaker, we're under a public hearing on Dash 8 Amendment to House Bill 2142. We've moved through this process. I've done my best to keep you informed as we're in the middle of negotiations. I'd be welcome any kind of comments that you would have if you so choose.
I'd love to say a word, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. I know that all of you on this committee have worked long and hard on this legislation, and I just wanted to come down and commend you. I think you've done a phenomenal job. I really do. The bill that is before you could be the first significant legislation that gets passed and agreed upon by all parties concerned for some time in Oregon, and could begin to address some of the transportation needs that we all have. There are needs that are critical to Oregon and our success in the future as a state, and getting goods to and from market, and getting you back and forth from the capital. I don't envy you, Chair Starr, the drive down 217 in the mornings, hoping to get through and get down here to the Capitol. I don't envy you that at all, but I think it's a good step, and you've worked long and hard on it, and I just wanted to come down and say that and be a part of this as you vote this out.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate that. Anyone else that hasn't testified that would like to? We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2142. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2142.
Mr. Chair.
Can we all make it unanimous?
Yeah.
Representative Merkley.
Mr. Chair, on behalf of myself and a number of my colleagues, I move the Dash 8 Amendment to House Bill 2142.
Representative Merkley has moved the Dash 8 Amendment to House Bill 2142. Any further discussion on the motion, amendment? Is there objection? Amendment adopted.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Merkley.
I move House Bill 2142 to the floor with an enthusiastic do pass recommendation.
Representative Berkeley has moved House Bill 2142 as amended to the floor with an enthusiastic two-pass recommendation. Comments, Representative Berkeley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we close out this committee, I wanted to say that I think this bill in many ways symbolizes your effort to run this committee in a way that consulted and respected and honored the various parties represented along this table, and the various parties represented in this room. And it has really been a pleasure. As the chair knows, I was not that excited to serve on the Transportation Committee when the session started. And I must say that it is one of those tremendous good strokes that the Speaker refused my request to be exchanged to another committee where I felt I had more expertise, because I've learned a lot about a very important issue in the state, and I have really enjoyed being Vice Chair and working with you, and thank you, and this is a particularly excellent piece of work that will be remembered for quite some time as bringing many parties that sometimes squabble and sometimes come to political blows, and they're all here today saying that they support this, and you've done an excellent job. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Throughout this session and through many committee meetings that we've sat through over the last couple of months, we've heard about the tremendous needs and for transportation to for the modernization and the preservation of our roads throughout all of Oregon. Through our cities and in rural Oregon. But I think we need to keep in mind that this is a substantial increase in taxes we're asking the people of the state of Oregon to pay, and we need to be as diligent in saying that that these needs are met as we are in passing this measure. And I commend you for the work that you've done on this, and I thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
I too want to add my great thanks to the chair for being tenacious on this issue and for not accepting no. It is to your credit. You've done a great job here in bringing together forces that traditionally have been at odds with each other to produce something that I think is fair and is balanced and fills a need. And I think you've done a great job. I think you've done a great job with this committee. I've enjoyed serving on it and with both of the vice chairs and all the committee members. We certainly have not agreed on many items, but most we have. And I think we have done good work. I think this is a very fitting and appropriate way to end our committee with this particular piece of legislation. And I think it puts a very positive footnote to the work we've done. Good job.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I would try to repeat all of the positive comments about your leadership, but just say that I agree with them all. Also state that in three sessions, this is the fourth transportation package I've voted on. Former Representative Lundquist would remember the first two, and given that the speaker's here making these supportive statements and you're making these supportive statements, I assume this message will be conveyed to the leadership that's behind us over here. And I hope that all the people here that are in agreement on this will convey that message too. My first transportation package went from the House with, I think, a vote in the low 40s, something like that, to a vote of 7 yes in the Senate. When it went over to the Senate. I am reasonably optimistic that this can go to the Senate and pass out with a solid 18-plus votes that it will probably need, I think, under requirement, hopefully with more like 25 or 26. But I think there's still some work to be done. We're towards the end of the session, and with the Speaker here saying that this was a good package, I hope he will convey that to his counterpart in the Senate, and we will finally have a package that makes it through the entire process.
Thank you so
much. Representative Nelson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. First of all, thank you very much for staying earnest to purpose, and with this kind of earnestness of purpose, I'm hoping you'll take that same desire to Washington, D.C. and get us matching funds or better to this $400 million. And we'll, you know, use that same expertise that you've just used here now that you're, you know, you've got it all clicking, and we'll have the same type of amicability with in Washington, D.C. as you developed here. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, serving on this committee has been a pleasure. It has been one of the best committees I think I've ever worked on. The committee members have been very dedicated, and I think the way we can thank you for your leadership, the very best, is now to go to work on our colleagues and explain to them what a wonderful package this is and the kind of dedication that it took to bring it about so that you can have a big vote behind this transportation package.
Thank you, Representative Donner. Mr. Chair, it does an old man's heart good to see a young man work that good and do such a You're a master. I just did a little negotiating, and that was tough, but what you did was a masterful job. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's been a pleasure. I learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And last but not least, I share all my colleagues' comments. I also was reminded when Judge Pryor spoke earlier of that same night in the Dalles, and just not only the Dalles, but throughout Central Oregon, the plaintiff pleas that we heard and how dismal the hopes seem. And so it really comes as a very pleasant surprise to see this come through at the end, and to thank you for making it happen.
Thank you.
We may vote this thing down yet.
Sacred moment. You all have had an opportunity to make a comment or two, and I appreciate the kind words that have been shared tonight. You know, gosh, I'm not supposed to get emotional about transportation. You know, I'm going to get way off the subject here, and everybody's going to wonder, what am I talking about? But it was about 4 years ago when I had delivered in my arms a little person that came home to live with us in my family's house. My daughter was born. It really gives a person who's involved in public service a reason to do what we do. And that little girl got a little brother delivered to our house a couple years after that. It only reinforced the reason why public service and what we do in this building is so important, and has nothing to do with transportation per se, except it has everything to do with transportation per se and everything else that we do in this building. And I don't know why that has entered my mind at this moment, other than the fact that so much of what we do in this building and what happens up here, the decisions that are made are made because you and I have had the opportunity to work together, develop a relationship that we didn't have prior to us coming together in this unique circumstance. And we pulled together and we became a team. And we developed those relationships. And for my kids and for your kids and the rest of the future of the state of Oregon, this committee made progress, made changes to statutes that are good for the state of Oregon, for the future of the state of Oregon. And to a certain extent, I'm going to try to get through what I want to say without being too emotional, but since that little girl came to live at my house, pretty easy for me to get emotional. So.
Well, you're going to have problems giving her away when she gets married, buddy.
We'll have to all be there for him.
about 30 years, I hope. I asked that, I've talked to my staff in the last couple hours and asked John to help kind of, get some things down on paper about what I wanted to say at this moment. And I've got notes scattered in front of me, and I'm going to probably sound a little bit disjointed here and there to try to get everything in that I'd like to say. But I'm really excited about an opportunity that we have in front of us tonight. For the first time in a decade, I think we're going to have a transportation package that stands a chance. For the first time in a decade, the transportation stakeholders in this building are unified behind a package, a bill. I think, too, that for the first time in a decade, the legislative leadership in both chambers are unified behind a package. All of us know the desperate need throughout the state of Oregon, the need for additional revenue for our transportation infrastructure, not only for the areas that I represent that have really enjoyed a significant amount of economic prosperity in the last decade, but in order for that prosperity to continue, we have got to have an investment in transportation infrastructure. It's absolutely necessary in order for that prosperity to continue. And yet, what about the rest of the state of Oregon, who hasn't necessarily enjoyed that same prosperity that my area of the state has? Transportation infrastructure, improvements to the transportation system are absolutely critical to bring the rest of the state into the kind of economic opportunities and prosperity and activity that my part of the state has enjoyed. It's critical. And that's why I was so committed when I asked the speaker to give me the job that he so graciously did. You'll hear this next comment. You've heard it before. People told me I was crazy. Why would you want to chair the Transportation Committee this session? Don't you know that the voters turned down, thumbs down on transportation package last May? How, you're not going to be able to do anything. And my response to them was, that's not an option. Doing nothing is not an option. Just because the voters turned thumbs down on the transportation package that we passed last session didn't mean that the congestion problems in the metro area have gone away, didn't mean that the problems going to the coast and Highway 18 have gone away, doesn't mean that the problems with preservation, the fact that our rural counties are turning their paved roads to gravel, that hasn't gone away. All of those needs, and I could go on with other examples, but all of those needs are as real today as they were last session when I fought tooth and nail to get a package that was ultimately referred and defeated. The need still exists. And I was committed from day one to find some way in order to deal with this problem. I appreciate the comments of my friend from Lake Oswego about his experience dealing in this committee, and I appreciate his experience on this committee being here when so many of us haven't served in transportation. But I appreciate his experience voting for packages out of the House, only seeing them go to the Senate to die. That is important to me, that we don't have members on the floor vote for something that we don't have the votes for in the Senate. I will endeavor and make a commitment this night that before this bill has a vote on the House floor, that this chair will be comfortable that there will be 18 votes on the Senate side to pass this package. I'll let you know that the Senate leadership and I have met, and the Senate leadership is supportive of this package.
All right.
I expect them to help bring along the Senate membership as necessary. One key point of this package that I think I'd like to make special note of is in the past we've focused our efforts on the gas tax. This package, we don't touch the gas tax. I think that's a critical component. I think that's it's necessary. As all of us know, the price of fuel in this state has gone up and stayed up. And to go out to the voters and tell your constituents and mine and say, we added 2, 3, 4, whatever amount to that gas price, I think would have been unacceptable. This doesn't do that. I think that's important. Also, I think that the fee on the trucking industry is appropriate, and I
very much appreciate the trucking industry's willingness to come to the table with that. This package would not be here before us tonight if they did not agree to basically tax their members an additional amount in order to get this package done. And I recognize the economic situation of many of our trucking firms in this state. It is a tough situation that many of them are under right now. We've lost some of them in recent months, primarily due to that fuel increase and the inability to pass it on to their customers. And so I do appreciate the trucking industry and their commitment to helping me and helping this committee and really serving the state's transportation needs. I didn't want to lose that opportunity to mention that. Finally, what this opportunity does for us as a state in our relationship with the federal government. As it's been shared, this legislature has not passed a significant transportation investment package of any kind in the last decade. And because of that, we have continued to slip due to inflation and other things. At the federal level, the Congress is going to be reauthorizing T21, the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st century, in the 2003 Congress. And without the state showing a significant willingness to have an investment in our transportation infrastructure at the local level, at the state level, our congressional delegation, as hard as they work across party lines, pulling together, linking arms together, fighting for transportation for the state of Oregon, they would have been at a disadvantage to those other states around the country that have had investments at the local level. And this provides our congressional delegation significant ammunition, so to speak, leverage, in order to fight for our state at the federal level. And I think that is an important reason to support this package tonight. Friends, it's a new day. It's a new day in the state of Oregon. And I believe it's a new day in Oregon's transportation. We have a new director of the department. I think we've got a new attitude at the legislature in recognizing that unless we have a partnership between the legislature and the Department of Transportation, the people, the citizens of the state of Oregon will not be well served. And it is this chair's intent, for as long as I serve in this building and the citizens in Washington County send me here, to maintain that positive relationship. I just wanted to make that commitment tonight as well. Finally, I said finally before, but this is finally for sure. Committee, I couldn't have been blessed with a better committee. I appreciate so much the work that each of you have put into each of the bills that we've worked in this committee. I couldn't thank you enough for what you've all brought to the table. When we'd have bills come to this committee and the kinds of questions that would come up from this committee and the work that you had done and obvious work that you've done in your offices looking at these things that we had before us, I was proud. I was proud to lead such a fine group of legislators. It's been a real privilege. And I could mention certain things about each one of you, but I won't tonight. And I will have that opportunity in the near future. Also, I'd like to thank many of the stakeholders that are in the room tonight for not only their work on this particular piece of legislation, which I think is historic, but also many of the other bills that we've had before this committee. I want to especially recognize the Department of Transportation staff, Kelly Taylor, for the DMV bills that we've had before this committee, the work that she's done. We could always count on Kelly for a little bit of humor in the committee when she'd come to testify. And I just appreciate that. For Doug Tinkle, I appreciate your work here and helping us get the job done.
Old Beeves.
Joan Plank as well, for the kind of information that was always available when we needed it. Appreciate that.
Troy Kistoff.
And so I'd again just I've mentioned Bruce before, but I thank you very much, and any other ODOT person that I failed to mention. And finally, what else? Who else? I guess it's time to vote.
Jim.
Did you ask that the subsequent referral to revenue be rescinded?
Mr. Speaker, actually, this bill didn't have a subsequent referral. It came as an ODOT bill, so I thank you, ODOT, for introducing this bill. But it had the right relating clause, and so I double-checked with the Speaker, got permission that in a traditional situation, a bill that raises revenue, as this bill does, would require a motion to send to the Revenue Committee. And I've asked the Speaker if we can send this bill to the floor. I've kept Representative Shedderly abreast of what's proceeding through this committee. I've kept him up to date as much as is possible, but he's aware, and it's okay with him that we send this bill to the floor as well. Due to the lateness of the session where we are and hopefully going home to our families soon, in a month or so, I think it's important we get this over to the Senate. So that's the deal with the issue of the Revenue Committee. Finally, on June 5th, we will have our committee party, and details will be to follow. And so with that, thank you all very much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Can we have a roll call vote?
Aye.
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 Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Chair votes aye. I will carry the bill, and we'll close the work session on House Bill 42.
Thank you.
As I was sitting here as we were doing that vote, I realized that there was a couple of people that I failed to mention, and I'm glad that I remembered. First of all, I'd like to thank Jennifer for her work with the committee. As the committee recognizes, we've had a little bit of a turnover on the committee staff help, but Jennifer's stepped into the position and been a great asset to the committee in the time that she's served with us. Who I really owe a tremendous amount to this session for the work of this committee, for the ability to keep the chair on task, I'm losing exactly, there's a lot of thoughts running through my mind at the moment. Without John as my committee administrator, this committee would not have operated as well as it has. There's no doubt in my mind about that. For John's work and his friendship, I appreciate it. I thank you.
You're here.
So with that, we have just one other minor thing that we need to take care of. Representative Mercury would like to cast his votes on House Bill 2870, House Bill 3569, and House Bill 3548, which we just suspended the rules and brought the bill back to committee. We really didn't take action on.
I see.
So what I'd like to do is reopen the work session on House Bill 2870. I move that we suspend the rules, allow Representative Merkley to cast his vote on House Bill 2870. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Merkley, how do you vote? We sent this bill to Ways and Means.
On 2870, aye.
We'll close the work session on House Bill 2870. We'll open the work session on House Bill 3569. And I move that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Mercury to vote on House Bill 3569. Without objection? Representative Mercury, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Representative Mercury votes no on House Bill 3569. And we will close the work session on House Bill 3569. And we are adjourned.
Happy day today.
Good job. You'll remember this day.